And now, it's time for our weekly news round. Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
Part of a Lutheran church in Claremore, Oklahoma, has been destroyed and determined a total loss as a result of a fire last week. Claremore firefighters battled the flames at Redeemer Lutheran Church at Seminole Avenue in Claremore. The pastor, Mark Berger, was working inside on his Sunday sermon when he smelled smoke. He said the church's old age could have played a role in the fire. "I'm just a pastor, but on the far end there is a kitchen and a utility end where the heater is and a lot of wiring. You're talking 50s wiring," Pastor Berger said. "So perhaps electrical or a heating unit. It wasn't a cigarette, it wasn't cooking, so it had to be something of that nature." Fire Marshal Jason Crandall said the fire started in an attic wall between the church kitchen and nursery, where a junction box and a conduit line were located. Crandall said he found conduit wires had separated, which created an electrical arc. The electrical arc created sparks and fire, igniting wood, insulation and other combustibles in the attic, he said. Crandall said the fire started in an older part of the church and was fast approaching the newer part of the church, the sanctuary. The fellowship hall suffered approximately $250,000 in damage. Restoration workers began clean-up efforts in the sanctuary, which suffered only smoke damage, Crandall said. He said at this point electric has been restored into the sanctuary. Restoration crews are working all around the clock and plan on having a service on Sunday. Crandall, who is also a member of the church, said there is a building fund aimed at tearing down the fellowship hall and building a new one in the existing location. Redeemer, built in 1949, is part of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod with more than 6,000 congregations and 2.5 million members in North America. In Sudan, the members of the Evangelical Lutheran Church held an extraordinary convention in Yambio and voted out the former bishop and elected a new one to be in charge of South Sudan and Sudan Lutheran Church affairs. James El Taib, the legal advisor of the church, said the removal of the former bishop, Wilson Noah, was done in accordance to the law. The convention, he added, also had a right to elect a bishop to work as per the will of the Christians and the constitution of the church. Earlier this year, the board of the church accused the former bishop of Evangelical Lutheran Church of not doing enough to develop the church, and later suspending and dismissing pastors for no reasons. Other allegations were brought against the former bishop to defend himself, but the religious leader failed to do what the church expected. El Taib said the convention, which drew participants from across the two Sudans, unanimously elected Pastor Peter Anibati to be the bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and will be ordained in 3 months to assume office according to the church constitution. The convention also elected the assistant bishop, Reverend Simon Gatelauk, who will also be in the Upper Nile to run the Evangelical Lutheran Church. Meanwhile, the former bishop, who hails from Juba, appealed against the convention's election outcome, describing it as being illegal. He said he still remains the bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Sudan and South Sudan. A committee is expected to go and meet the former bishop in Juba, where he is expected to hand over all the assets he was using when he was a bishop, El Taib stated. Speaking to leaders of the church after the convention, Simon Massini, a church member, accused the former bishop of poor administration. "Christians have been waiting for the convention to take place so they can elect somebody who will take the church ahead," he said. 24 Azerbaijani Christians have been told they will be fined at least 1,500 Azerbaijani manats, $850 each, for participating in an illegal prayer meeting at a church leader's home. All 30 attendees were initially arrested when a dozen policemen interrupted the meeting on the morning of the 27th of November at the house of Gamid Shabanov in Aliabad, a village in the south of the country. The 30 Christians were each questioned and had their names and passport details logged. Police also took an inventory of all the Christian literature in the house. 26 of them were taken to the police station. 22 were released later that evening, but 4 were detained overnight, including the Shabanovs and another church leader, Memon Agedimov. They were released the following day, but warned not to hold another meeting, and 24 of them were told they would be fined. Each of you may pray in your own house, but meetings are forbidden. Otherwise, you'll be arrested again, with more serious consequences than a fine, the police told them, according to a World Watch Monitor source. Their arrests were reported on national television, although they were not identified specifically as Christians, but instead were said to have been arrested for illegal religious activities and spreading illegal religious doctrines. It sounds like we are some kind of sect, Agedimov told the World Monitor source. Religious meetings in private homes are prohibited under Azerbaijani law, which states that only registered religious organizations can hold prayer or worship meetings. The potential punishment for illegal religious activity is a fine for a first offence and a prison term for repeat offenders. Nigeria's Akwa Ibom state government says only 23 people died in a collapsed church tragedy, an apparent attempt to cover up a death toll of more than 150 when metal girders and the corrugated iron roof crashed onto a crowded service last weekend. Cranes and bulldozers were still at the scene clearing debris on Tuesday, 3 days after Saturday's disaster. The Associated Press had reported at least 160 people died, using the count at one mortuary, by the director of the state's biggest hospital, the University of Oyo Teaching Hospital. The hospital director, Atete Peters, said Saturday that mortuaries in Oyo City were overflowing with bodies and the toll would be likely to rise. But Peters later told journalists that only 24 bodies were at the teaching hospital's morgue. He could not be reached to explain the discrepancy. Rainer's Bible Church was under construction when it hosted hundreds of people for the consecration of Felder Akam Weeks as a bishop. Weeks and State Governor Udom Emmanuel, who was a guest with a large entourage, escaped unhurt. The state website put the dead at 23. The governor said the earlier figures came as a result of multiple counting as a result of the different private health centers the victims were rushed to before being transferred to the University of Oyo Teaching Hospital, the statement said. Emmanuel has ordered the arrest of the building contractor of the collapsed church, but it was unclear if he'd been found. Federal workers of the National Emergency Management Agency were prevented by state officials from counting the dead, said an official involved in the tragedy. The official spoke to AP on condition of anonymity because he is not authorized to speak to reporters. Nigeria's media is questioning the low death toll. The official news agency of Nigeria ran a story that began, "Did the Nigerian police in Oyo Akwa Ibom State lie on the number of casualties in the collapsed church on Saturday?" The agency quoted a resident, Gary Ubong, as saying, "I saw more than 100 dead bodies brought out on loaders." The Iranian government has assumed control of a church-owned retreat center, accusing the church of being funded by the U.S. government and the CIA. The government said the retreat center in Karaj, a city just west of Tehran, belonged to an organization funded by the U.S. through the CIA spy agency to infiltrate the Islamic world and particularly Iran by conducting evangelistic activities. Article 18, a London-based NGO, says the move represents a renewed phase in the government's crackdown on Protestant churches, with intensifying efforts to confiscate remaining properties that belong to evangelical churches. This is the latest action in an intensified campaign by the regime aimed at curbing the growth of Christianity in Iran, particularly among former Muslims, Article 18 reports. Over the last few years, the Iranian government has begun taking possession of remaining properties belonging to official Protestant churches. The ultimate goal of the campaign, former church leaders told Article 18, is to render Protestant evangelical churches with more than 630 million Iranian Christians worldwide as an outsider cult with no official recognition in Iran. Article 18's Mansour Borj told on the 11th of December that after the government linked the church with the CIA, every church leader, every church member will be quite frightened because of the prospects of prison and being labeled as collaborators with the enemy. Christians, Jews and Zoroastrians are protected religious minorities under Iran's constitution. But Article 18 says Iran's constitutional theocracy discriminates against its citizens on the basis of religion. Traditionally, Iran's Christian minority was comprised of ethnic minorities of Armenian and Assyrian descent. But Article 18 says an increase in Iranian nationals converting to Christianity has been seen as a threat to the nation's security. The retreat centre has been owned by the Council of Assemblies of God, the AOG churches in Iran, since the early 70s. The AOG church in Iran was established prior to the 1979 revolution. It is not organisationally affiliated with the AOG denomination in the US. After the Islamic Revolution, the status of the Assemblies of God as a registered religious institution in Iran was reinstated. One reason for the confiscation seems to have been a misunderstanding relating to the former name of the affiliated Central AOG Church in Tehran, which used to be known as Philadelphia, a name commonly used all over the Christian world, and not necessarily linked to a city in the US or to any other appearance of the same name anywhere else in the world. In its notice of confiscation, the executive headquarters of Iman's Directive, ECO, a government body under the direct control of Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, wrote, "Considering that the property belongs to the Council of Assemblies of God Churches, which is a branch of Philadelphia Churches in the United States, funded by the US through the CIA spy agency, the court issues and declares the order of confiscation of the mentioned property." A Turkish judge sent the Reverend Andrew Brunson to prison in Izmir 64 days after the US pastor and his wife Noreen were detained on 7th of October under Interior Ministry deportation orders. Although his wife was released on the 19th of October and given an extended permit to remain in the country, Andrew Brunson has been held since 20th of October but is now being held at a counter-terrorism center. The allegations filed against the American pastor, which apparently prompted his arrest and lengthy detention, came from a secret informant. The court ruled that the files on Brunson's case would continue to remain inaccessible to his lawyer, who had not been allowed to meet him before the hearing. According to Noreen Brunson, the lawyer confirmed that her husband was accused of links with the Fethullah Gulen movement, which is accused by Ankara of instigating a failed military coup against the Turkish government on the 15th of July. The pastor is now incarcerated at Izmir's Sakran 3 Nolu Tipi prison. In a wide-ranging crackdown to identify and prosecute the suspected coup plotters and their sympathizers with the intention to prosecute them as terrorists, the Turkish authorities have suspended or jailed tens of thousands of judges, prosecutors, military personnel, journalists and educators on terrorism charges over the past 5 months. Brunson and his wife, who have 3 children now studying in the US, have lived in Turkey for the past 23 years. And finally, cricket legend Arjuna Ratatunga announced Monday he was reviving his bid to build a record-breaking 100-metre-tall Christmas tree in Sri Lanka's capital, despite opposition from the Catholic Church. Ratatunga, who is also a government minister, said the project was back on track after Prime Minister spoke to the Archbishop of Colombo, Malcolm Ranith. The work resumed this morning after the Prime Minister's intervention with the Archbishop, Ratatunga said in a statement to AFP. It will be ready for Christmas. There was no immediate comment from the Archbishop, who described the scheme as a wasteful expenditure last week, and said that the estimated $200,000 cost would have been better spent on alleviating poverty. Ratatunga, who led Sri Lanka to victory in the 1996 World Cup, has been at the forefront of the project to first raise money and then erect a 325-foot artificial tree in central Colombo. The 53-year-old, who represents a largely Catholic parliamentary constituency, had recently laid the steel base of the tree, which was beginning to take shape on Colombo's Galface beachfront promenade. Ratatunga said it would be the tallest artificial Christmas tree ever built anywhere in the world. According to the Guinness Book of World Records, the largest artificial Christmas tree was erected in the southern Chinese province of Guangzhou last year, measuring about 55 meters. A team in Mexico claimed to have erected a 90-meter Christmas tree in 2009. It is obviously a growth industry. Have a blessed Christmas. My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
On your PC, tablet, mobile phone and internet radio receiver, this is Lutheran Radio UK.